Good morning. It's great to see you people here today. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Don't forget, there's a game later on today. The Eagles, they're not in either. Okay. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just heard this morning that a 30-second commercial spot costs between $5 and $5.5 million, okay? It's amazing, isn't it? So in this 30-second spot, you might see a Snickers commercial. You might even see a live commercial being shot just as we see it. You might even see Tom Brady, not only on the field, but also in a commercial. Who knows? You just might see some of these things. You might even see somebody hugging a tree. I don't know, but you might. So we continue the series that the other guy from last week, forget his name. John, that's his name. He started this passage in sermon series on the book of Jude. I want to say something to start, and again, I mean this. This is an awesome responsibility standing up here. It really is, because I'm just Don. I'm the guy that walks around here and shakes hands for. There should be at least 25 minutes of that, because when I come up and we're sitting here and Debbie and I are sitting here and I come back during the second song, she goes, "What's wrong?" Usually I get back about the third song. But anyway, I'm just Don. So I strive not to say when I'm up here, now you people need to, what I try to use to the best of my ability is the pronoun we, because we are in this together. We really are. We're in this together. So the two verses that we're looking at today, right in the middle of this passage, is from Jude, and it's the third and fourth verse, and this is from today's Living Bible. Hear God's word. Dearly loved friends, I had been planning to write you some thoughts about salvation God has given us, but now I find I must write of something else instead, urging you to stoutly defend the truth that God gave once for all to his people to keep without change through the years. I say this because some godless teachers have wormed their way in among you, saying that after we become Christians, we can do just as we like without fear of God's punishment. The fate of such people was written long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Have you ever been in attending a concert? And maybe you're going to see a band, like the main band, but before the main band comes out on stage, there's like a warm-up band. Well, that's me today. I'm just the warm-up guy. John probably will come out a little bit later and speak to you, but I'm just the warm-up guy. Jude's language in this passage is very harsh. Jude's language in this passage is very strong, is very strict. Jude's language in this passage is very severe, and Jude's language in this passage is politically incorrect. However, it is a wake-up call for all of us to get going, to be about our Father's business. Jude is very passionate about the truth. Jude is very passionate to his readers. This passage, this letter that Jude wrote, was a necessity. Today, it still is a necessity to hear these words. Are we as concerned about this truth? Or are we just so sort of ho-hum? Well, if I witness, I witness. It doesn't matter. If I share my faith, I share my faith. It doesn't matter. If I volunteer downstairs in the Sunday school, I volunteer. It doesn't matter. If I give, I give. It doesn't matter. If I tithe, I tithe. It doesn't matter. If I believe in church growth and want the church to grow, it grows. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Sometimes we need to act like we really care. Maybe, just maybe, sometime we need to live out this Christian life and act like we really mean it. Sometimes, maybe sometimes, just maybe, we need to follow him and demonstrate it. Has defending our faith ever cost us anything? Have we ever defended our faith? I came across a story, a true story, about Yogi Berra. Now, most of you people here are not old enough to know who Yogi Berra is. Some of you are old enough to know who Yogi Berra is. Well, Yogi Berra was a catcher for the Yankees, and the story goes that, and I don't know what game it was, but Hank Aaron came up to bat, and Yogi Berra decided, you know what, he's going to throw this guy off because he was a great hitter, and he just started chattering. You're no good. You're going to strike out. You're not going to make it. Just kept chattering. Even said to him, hey, you're holding the bat wrong. The trademark on the bat, you're supposed to be able to read that when you're up to bat. And just giving him a hard time. Chatter. The next pitch, Hank Aaron put in the left field bleacher seats. Home run. And as he came across home plate, he looked at Yogi Berra and said, I didn't come up here to read. We too, today, hear constant chatter. We are bombarded by the media. And we need to ask ourselves, are we more concerned with Facebook? Are we more concerned about how many friends we have in Facebook? Are we more concerned on, somebody defriended me on Facebook? Are we more worried about how many likes we have, how many, what comments are out there that we like or don't like? Are we more concerned about what's on Twitter or what somebody tweeted or that somebody doesn't like us? Are we more concerned about Pinterest or are we concerned about God? Are we more concerned about what God wants us to do right now, today? So we have this passage, this letter written by Jude, and he is exhorting his readers. He comes alongside of them, and he's trying to inspire them. We need that inspiration today. 2,000 years ago, needed it. Today, we need it. We need that passion, inspiration into our lives about our walk with God. It is urgent, and it is highly recommended, is what Jude is saying. I've told you this before, but remember, I'm old, so I get to repeat myself. One of the great things about being old is we are the only Bible that some people will ever read. We are the only Bible that some people will ever read. The question is, what are they reading? When they see us, what are they reading? Today, there's definitely a war in terrorism. Absolutely there is. 2,000 years ago, Jude wrote this, and there was a war going on also, a spiritual war. 2,000 years ago, spiritual war. 2,000 years later, today, 2017, still today, spiritual war. Are we ready to fight the faith? An athlete trains very hard, very long to compete. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians from J.B. Phillips. Do you remember how on a racing track, every competitor runs, but only one wins the prize? Well, you ought to run with your mind fixed on winning the prize. Every competitor in an athletic event goes into serious training. Athletes will take tremendous pains for a fading crown of leaves, but our contest is for an eternal crown that will never fade. Wow. John mentioned last week about a servant, and we think servant, being oppressed, but he mentioned that it was a bond servant, eagerly wants to do things, not forced to, but wants to. Wants to now contend for the faith. We, as servants, need to be contending for the faith. Not as a drudgery, but as we want to. What is our responsibility today? What is our responsibility today in this athletic event? What event does God want us to participate in? What does he want us to do? How can we do this? How can we contend for the faith? You might be asking, how can I do it? What can I do? Well, here's good news for you. Great news for you. In Hebrews, God promises that he will never leave us. In Hebrews, God promises to never let us down. So what we need to do here, whatever God wants you to do personally, he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will always stand beside you. He will never let you down. So the title of this whole sermon series is Hey Jude. You know, I started thinking, that was written in 1968, but the Beatles have been around since around 1960. Last year, 2016, Debbie and I went and saw Paul McCartney live in a concert. I mean, that's amazing. It really is. In the early 60s, and again, most of you don't know about this, but in the early 60s, everybody was talking about the Beatles. It was a phenomenon. It was unbelievable. Today, are we talking about God? Do we talk about God ever? Besides Sunday morning, do we ever talk about God? This morning at first service, a lady came up to me and said, I need to tell you what I did yesterday. I was in a restaurant, and I heard these two guys talking, and the one guy said to his friend, why are we here? Not in the restroom, but why are we here on this earth? So she finished her meal, and she went over to the guy and said, I hate to interrupt you, but I just need to say something to you. I heard you say, why am I here? And she said, I want you to know why you're here is because God put you here and wants you and loves you and cares about you. Defending the faith. A bondservant, eager to do whatever God asked him to do, or her. Eager. Not drudgery, wants to do it. I think I mentioned to you a long time ago that when God called me to go to college for this whole ministry thing, many people in my church said, Don, you can't do this. You're married, you have three girls, you have a house, a job. You can't do this. And I said, you don't understand. I must do it. You don't understand. I will do this. You don't understand. There's not a choice here. I want to. Without God, never could have done it. And also, without Debbie, never could have done it. I'm talking today about total submission. What do our lives show? Do our lives show total submission to God, to be Lord of our life? Oh, we love singing Washed in the Blood. We love talking about someday I'm going to walk in the streets of gold. We love that. What we don't like is God telling us what we can do. What we don't like is God telling us what we cannot do. Lord, make me good, but not too good, is what we want to say. We say we love Jesus. We say we love God. We say we love the Bible. But do we want Jesus to be the Lord over our life? Total submission. Is that what we want? That's what God wants. That's what God requires. I read a story this week about a bank over in England, a very small branch, did very little business, but one day in particular, nobody came into the bank. Nobody. And so around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the manager said to one of the tellers, just go out and lock the door. We're going home. And the teller went out to lock the door and realized they never opened the door. So she went back to the manager and said, we never opened up. And I'm wondering, when I read this, I'm wondering, do we forget to open up to God? Do we keep our doors locked? Maybe God's trying to talk to us and we're all locked up. What do our lives show? Submit somewhat or all in? Is God Lord of our life? Total submission. The disciples throughout the New Testament modeled this. They definitely modeled this. Total submission. Faith in Jesus until their very death. And as you probably know, they had suffered terrible deaths. Some were hung. Some were hung upside down. Some stoned to death. It wasn't a pleasant way to die. Some were beheaded. They wouldn't do that for a lie. Which brings us to the second part of what I want to talk about today. 2,000 years ago, Jude writes, do whatever you want. It's okay. Look at this verse out of Matthew from the Message. And I'm willing to put this up on the board. Don't worry. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practice sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off some way or the other. Don't be impressed with charisma, but look for character. That's still in our world today. You probably realize that. Do whatever you want. Why? Because Jesus forgives. It's okay. Just do what you want. If you love to do it, go do it. It's okay. Do as you please. Any desire is okay. That's the false teacher right there. That is false teaching. That is not making Lord over our entire life. It is not. This video that I showed in the beginning, that was John's idea, not mine, certainly. Because I'm just the warm-up guy. John, maybe will come out here a little bit later. You know, this video was projecting self. And just screaming in the megaphone. And you got to get things. That means success. You need a boat. You need that bigger house. You need to be a king. You need stuff. You need Corinthian columns. Or if you're older, fine Corinthian leather. You know what I talk about, some of you? Remember? Okay. You need the big TV. You need the car. Not the Camry. The Jaguar is what you need. Things, the false teacher in the video said, equals success. While actually what we should project is what Jesus projected constantly throughout the New Testament, through his time here on earth. What did he project? Caring. Look in your New Testament. What did he project? Love. What did he project? Sharing. Yes, he corrected people, but he corrected them with love. We need to study God's word. We need to study God's word. This false teaching, do whatever you want, 2,000 years ago, was wrong. It was wrong then, it's wrong now. It's perverted grace because it denies Jesus as Lord over your life. Cheap grace was wrong then. Cheap grace is wrong today. A great quote from Bonhoeffer. We have gathered like vultures around the carcass of cheap grace. We have gathered like vultures around the carcass of cheap grace. Remember, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Are you really ready to defend God's word? Are you really ready to maintain it, to defend it, to share it? Now, I will grant you there are some passages in the scriptures that are very difficult. Like, you take the book of Revelation. Books have been written. It means this. No, it means that. And it is difficult. You look at the book of Daniel, some of the prophecies. What exactly do they mean? Well, we're not sure. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? We're not sure. However, you need to know one thing. The Bible is crystal clear on how to get to God. There is one way, Jesus. There is one way. No discussion, none, zero. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You need to know that verse because you need to be out there defending it. Somebody might ask you. You need to be able to tell them this verse, that sin is out there, and we all do it. And we do a pretty good job of it. It's a mistake. It's missing the mark. And sin has a wage. Wage is something that you earn. It's not a gift. You get a paycheck at the end of the week. You earn that paycheck. And what is sin's wage? Is death. Is no more. And everyone in this room right now, if that verse ended right there, all of us are in a heap of trouble. Great news for you, comma, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a gift for you, and it's a perfect gift. And it's from God who created you, who knows you. Again, who knows you better than you know yourself? What's the gift? Eternal life. Wow, how do I get this? Easy. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. As Lord and Savior. We love the Savior part. We don't always like the Lord part. Now, as I close, I want to share this with you. You might be thinking, Don, man, I'm scared. I don't want to go into these false teachers. I want to make sure what I do is right. How do I know? Great question. I'll explain it this way. People in the FBI, FBI agents, CIA agents, whose job is it to find out about counterfeit money? You know how they do that? They do not study counterfeit money. You know what they study? Real money. They keep studying what real money looks like. Why? Because then they'll know what a phony is when they see it. How can we know? We need to be in God's Word. That's what we need to do. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a great day. You can do it. I don't care what you've done yesterday, all of yesterday's, it does not matter. To me, most importantly, it does not matter to God, because the Bible says Christ died once and for all for all sin. It's all taken care of. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk with you. Look me up. Find out somebody that you know that's a Christian, but talk to somebody. It's very important that you do that. Very important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you certainly that you love us. We're thankful. We humbly say thank you for dying on the cross so that we might be with you forever. All we have to do is accept you as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, we just ask today, right now, that if there's anybody in this room, that they would come forth, they would talk to somebody and find this saving knowledge of you, God. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for loving us. And we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.